Lord Jesus, as we come now to listen to you, we pray that you would give us attentive ears. We pray not only that we would listen, but that we would hear and apply what we hear to our own lives. Speak to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The power of the resurrection. What do you think when you think of power, when you think of authority? Perhaps you think of some bad example, perhaps some government leader who has really bad authority and really bad use of his power. But perhaps you think of it from your own side, where you wish you had more power and authority. Don't we love it when someone has to admit that we have the authority over that, or when we have power over somebody? We love to pull rank, don't we? And to get things to go our own way. So when the Bible talks about us being given power and authority, we normally sit up and listen. In fact, our popular Christian authors and preachers speak about the power that we have in the Lord Jesus. They give us Bible verses to back up what they say. And one such Bible verse that they often throw around is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, which reads, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power." I'm sure you've all heard that verse, and I'll pick up a little bit more on that verse in a moment. But on Friday, if you were with us, when we spoke about the death of Jesus and his death on the cross and what that meant for us, we realized that as Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life, so we as Christians are expected to die on the cross, and we will also be raised with Christ. You'll remember that we chatted about the whole idea that we suffer in this world. We go through hard times. We struggle for no other reason than Jesus also suffered in this world. We also mentioned on Friday that the effect of the cross is not only something that is seen now, but something that gives us hope for the future, where we realize that we have eternal life with God in heaven. And friends, the resurrection is very much the same as the cross. As we suffer like Jesus did on the cross, as we suffer in this world, as Jesus was raised to life, so we too will also be raised to life. But you'll notice here that in Ephesians chapter 1 and the opening verses of verse 2, that Jesus also speaks about the resurrection and what that means for us. So I've got a couple of comments that I want to make this morning. My first comment is the incomparably great power of God. Hopefully you've got your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 1. If you have a look at verse 18 with me. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was at that time the center of satanic worship. There was a lot of all sorts of evils and religious evils going on in that city. And Paul is writing to these Christians in Ephesus to encourage them to stand strong in the midst of an evil world. It's possible that the Ephesian Christians felt a little bit insignificant, felt a little bit irrelevant in their city because their city was so filled with evil. And so Paul prays for them. In verse 17, you will see that Paul prays that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding. In other words, how to live for God amongst the evil of their city. In verse 18, he prays that Christians would be able to see what God has done for them. He lists three things that God has done for us. The first, he says, that we might know the hope to which we have been called. In other words, that longing, that hope that is out there, the eternal life. Then he mentions, secondly, that we would know the inheritance that is waiting for us. So not only do we have this eternal life, but we have this amazing inheritance that is given to us as well. Something to look forward to. And again, and thirdly, Paul mentions, and this is the one I want to focus on this morning, that we are given the incomparable power of God. The first two things that Paul mentions here concern our future. Okay, so the idea of the hope and the idea of the inheritance, those all concern what happens in the future, the things that we look forward to. The third element that Paul is speaking of here is the incomparable power of God is about helping us today in our world. And we need to be able to, we need to see God's power that lives in us. Now, in verse 19, Paul says, and I think it's just important here to pause and just have a look for a moment at what God's incomparably great power is. We are told in verse 19 that the power is like the working of God's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly realms. This power that has been given to us is the same power that raised the dead man back to life. And not only raised him back to life, but seated him at the right hand of God the Father. God's power, which we can find throughout the scriptures, reaches its climax in the resurrection. We have the power, the incomparable power of God. And friends, in a way, this power of God is to remind us of God's creation. How he created in the beginning at Genesis chapter 1, how God created an entire world out of nothing. In raising Christ to life again, we are meant to understand that God's power has given new life out of nothing. Tim Chester says, if we ever have cause to doubt the power of God, look to the resurrection. If we ever begin to doubt God's ability to sort out any and every problem in this world, look again to the power of the resurrection. Now, who else do you know who can raise the dead to life? I know there's been a few people who have made prophecies that people will come to life. There's a few people who've claimed to raise people from the dead. But no one who has been verified like Jesus. As Christians, this power that raised God, or that raised Jesus to life, is a power that is given to us. And this is my second comment, at work in us. Notice in this passage that Paul does not say that the power of God is only available to a select minority who happen to have studied God's word or spent time with God. Verse 19, his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power of God, culminated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is given to all who believe in Jesus. And notice that this power puts Jesus over all of us. Verse 22. He appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Again, God's power is not an elusive thing, but something that is given to all who believe and is given to everybody in the church of God. Isn't it great to know that God's power with us, helping us, is there in our daily lives? Isn't it great to know that the power that raised Jesus to life is available for the church? The power of the world seems so strong, doesn't it? In fact, there's a Mardi Gras taking place on the main road as we speak. And the temptation is, let's go to the Mardi Gras. And maybe you will when we finished here. But perhaps the temptation was, let's go to the Mardi Gras now while the weather's still good before it starts raining, and we'll give church a skip. We get sucked into the thinking of the world. We fall prey to temptations. But a much greater power is at work in us and for us, if only we would realize it. I know a number of you have watched superhero movies. There's a whole lot of them, and they're quite the rage at the moment. We've got the Avengers, we've got Superman, we've got Spider-Man, we've got the Hulk, we've got the new one, the Black Panther. Maybe you've seen them, maybe you haven't, but don't worry about them. They're just superhero movies. I know amongst the younger people, we're asking each other all the time, what superpower would you like? Perhaps you would like to be able to convert yourself to the size of an ant, like in Ant-Man. Or maybe you want to have the speed of a jet. Or maybe you want to be able to fly like Superman. Maybe you want some other superpower, maybe like Hulk, where you can just smash through walls, or Magneto, where you can lift metal at easy. Friends, we all dream of having some amazing superpower. But you know what, friends? As Christians, we have a superpower. We are superheroes with untold power at our disposal. And I mean that, really. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, and through that has shown us his complete power. And he tells us, even in Ephesians 2 verse 5, if you just have a look down there, that we have been made alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sin. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Friends, we have God's power at our disposal. So God reveals his power to us in Christians by raising Christ from the dead. He shows us that we have his power. But, and my third comment this morning, to what end? How are we to use this power that we are given? In the superhero movies, there are good superheroes and there are bad superheroes. The bad superheroes always use their power for their own glory and their own gain, to increase their own wealth. I'm going to rule the world, they might say. And then you have the good superheroes who use their powers for the good of everybody, like Spider-Man, who rescues people. Joyce Meyer and others suggest that this power is available for our own good. She says that we need to claim this power over every area of our lives to ensure that we have victory in our relationships, in all our work, and for all other things, so that we can live a happy life now. But friends, I want to show you that that is not what the Bible says this power is to be used for. Have a look with me at Ephesians 2 verse 1. As for you, Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. verse 4, but because of God's great mercy, or His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Verse 6, and God raises us up with Him, verse 7, in order that. Do you notice those three little words there at the beginning of verse 7? We have been raised up with Christ. We've been seated next to Christ, or next to God the Father in Christ. So that, or in order that, in the coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And then if you cast your eye down to verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Friends, what this passage is saying is that we've been given this amazing, incomparably great power of God in our lives, not to make my life better, as much as I would love that, but in order to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. The good work, as Paul says here in Ephesians 2, of sharing His grace to the people of this world. If we come back to the verse I mentioned right at the beginning of this talk from 2 Timothy, and put this verse in the context of the passage, we read, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That's where people like to leave off with that verse. But if we continue reading, verse 8, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Friends, the incomparably great power of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, which is now given to us, is given to us so that we might suffer for the gospel. As we share the gospel, as we pick up our cross and follow Jesus, it's going to lead to people laughing at us, people sneering at us, people mocking us. Perhaps it's going to lead to you being overlooked for promotion at work. Maybe you will be kicked out of social groups because you don't fit in with them. And Paul tells us in Colossians that we are strengthened with all power so that we might have great endurance. Another commentator said that the idea of serving, enduring, suffering, and loving does not seem like the language of triumphalism and victory, but he says it is the language of the resurrection. Friends, this means two things for us. God gives us His power, so we must lay aside ours, our rights, our status, our pride, as we humbly come before the Lord as slaves, to serve Him and to give our lives for others. But second, it means that even in my feebleness, my weakness, my frailty, my foolishness, God will use us. God gives us His power to do what He wants us to do. Not all of us have been to Bible college. Not all of us have studied further than just a few words of the Bible. Not all of us might be high and mighty in business circles. We're not all prefects at school. We're not all in leadership somewhere. We're not all high and mighty. But God gives His power, His full, incomparably great power to all who follow Him. You can understand why Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We also learned last week that the pattern of the cross is one of suffering in Christ, followed by glory. This reflects the cross and the resurrection. One of the things in the superhero movies is that the good superheroes generally give of themselves. We find them taking bullets for people. We find them being absolutely exhausted because they are saving others, even strangers. We find them going to the ends of the earth to save the world, to destroy the evil superhero. And friends, in a way, that is what we as Christians need to be like. If we shine, then people turn to us. They look to us and not to Christ. But if in our weakness, our frailty, God shines, then people follow Him. Friends, being a Christian is never easy. And if we truly try to honor the Lord in all we do, God gives us His incomparably great power to help us make a stand for Him. We have this power. We are people of power. We have resurrection power flowing through our veins. God's mighty power pulling Christ from the grave is in our lives. But we don't have this power for victory over suffering, but rather to serve, to endure in our suffering, to love, and to die for Christ. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we have been given Your incomparably great power to help us in this life. We know, Lord, that there are many things that come into our lives that try to destroy our relationship with You. But we thank You, Lord, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is given to us. So help us, Lord, to make use of this power that You've given us, that we might be able to do the good works that You have called us to do. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.